Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, teaching kids outside. New Hampshire explores nature-based learning for preschoolers. Also today, a documentary follows the fading artistry of hand-painted signs. And a longtime writer for The Simpsons talks about the show's evolution from a program that inspired protests to one praised by the Pope. But we begin with another sacred cow being taken down. This month, award-winning anthropologist Jane Goodall was supposed to release her 15th book. It's called Seeds of Hope. Instead, publication has been delayed after the Washington Post and the New York Times revealed that Dame Goodall had borrowed from other authors without attribution and made some fairly flat-footed statements passed off as science. A number of media outlets have backed away from accusing Goodall of outright plagiarism, opening up the question of whether everyone is willing to forgive an esteemed scientist for junk science. Michael Moynihan, cultural news editor for The Daily Beast, has been following the tame response to the investigation. Michael, welcome back to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
So let's go through the accusation first. Who discovered the quote-unquote borrowing?
It's an interesting thing because it was discovered by a scientist appointed by the Washington Post to review her book and came back to his editor and said, hey, there's a few curious things in here, not least, I think, the science. But first, a lot of this stuff seems to have been lifted from, kind of pedestrian websites, too, like Wikipedia sort of organic food websites. And said, I don't want to review the book, but I'm alerting it to you guys to this problem. They ended up reporting it as a news story and never reviewed the book.
So that's when I
started digging in.
Well, that's what we want to clarify here, that we're not just talking about accusations of plagiarism, but an investigation finding at least half a dozen passages clearly lifted, which you did some of that yourself.
Yeah, I did. I mean, it was not a thorough search on my end. When I saw that this had happened, I took the review copy of the book, thumbed to the middle of it, and just picked a few pages and found quite a few examples.
Okay, but so far we're looking at these reviews of. By the way, the title is "Seeds of Hope: Wisdom and Wonder from the World of Plants." Now, who wants to disagree with that in the first place?
I know exactly.
But it's interesting that there is a kind of reticence. A Christian Science Monitor, Washington Post, New York Times, nobody actually wanting to say that she plagiarized. Why this special treatment for Jane Goodall?
I felt the same way. I mean, I started my piece by saying I believe the first line was no one wants to criticize Jane Goodall. I mean, she's a sweet old lady with long white hair and a ponytail. Who cares about the earth? I mean, these are all good things, and she's done good things in the past, right? The problem is that, we contort ourselves, or some journalists have contorted themselves to say, we need to kind of redefine what plagiarism is, because she didn't actually steal people's ideas. She just stole their words, which that is what plagiarism is. And, it's bad. Not only does she steal people's words, I mean, she steals some pretty bad science, too. So the kind of confluence of both the junky science and the kind of laziness of how the book was put together, I mean, should offend readers.
So what has been the response of Goodall and her publisher, Grand Central?
Well, I tried to contact both Goodall, and in fairness to Jane Goodall, I mean, her name is on the book, but there is also the name of a co-author on the front cover of the book, and I contacted both of them, got a sort of form letter from Goodall's representatives and Grand Central. Nothing back from her co-author, who hasn't responded to any requests from any journalists, and they've pulled the book to do a kind of deeper dive and see what the problems are, and there are quite a few. So I mean, they have their work cut out for them.
That co-author, by the way, her name is Gail Hudson. She has collaborated with Jane Goodall more successfully in the past.
Yes.
But may we observe here that Jonah Lehrer would have already gone underground by this time. I mean, there seems to be a very different standard. This is not the first case we've heard of recently of professional plagiarism. You've talked a little bit about, why the hands off. But, this is the Washington Post, the New York Times. We're looking to them for this kind of, putting on those asbestos covered gloves.
Exactly.
and reaching into these stories.
No, it is. I mean, it's a very confusing thing. You mentioned Jonah Lehrer, and I should point out that I did that. That was my story that uncovered his plagiarism.
Right.
I think there's a thing about who these people are. I mean, it's unfortunate. It shouldn't be, but Jonah Lehrer Sinclair was a hotshot young journalist who rose very, very fast through the firmament, got that golden ring of becoming a New Yorker staff writer. And there was a certain amount of schadenfreude amongst journalists of seeing, watching him fall. The difference is based on the personality, and I think that's wrong. I mean, it should be based on the offense. But I think with Jane Goodall, and I spoke to some people about this, and they said, well, it's Jane Goodall. Let her. I mean, she has a ghostwriter, and her ghostwriter screwed up. And, my problem with that is she takes the credit. If it's a good book, she gets the advance, she gets the enormous name on the front, and then she doesn't take credit when something goes horribly wrong. I think we need to hold ourselves, and especially people who are science writers, to higher standards. And both of these people, Lehrer and Goodall, are science writers, and we need not polemic and not lazy journalism or sloppy journalism. We need good science.
Well, aside from the plagiarized passages and the accusations of sloppy science, does the book contain any redeeming qualities?
Not that I could tell.
Really?
Half of the piece that I wrote was about, the first half was about the problems with the plagiarism. The second half was about the problem of junk science in this book. And junk science, by the way, is a bipartisan problem. And in her book, I mean, there's a lot of stuff about GM crops that is demonstrably false based on the scientific record. I talked to a number of scientists who were baffled by some of the claims that she made. And even she says in the book, I am a primatologist. I am not a plant scientist. And this is my sort of appreciation of the plant world, which is great. And types of books like that we should appreciate. But when she gets into the sort of scientific realm, in fairness, I could say that if one wants to read a book where Jane Goodall, to listen to Jane Goodall talk about the sort of natural world and the wonder of the natural world, there's some redeeming qualities in that. But, it sort of dives back and forth between that and science, and a lot of the science is quite junky.
Michael,
I mean,
we're going to run out of time in just a minute, so I'm just wondering, do you think this book is ever going to go to press?
In the form that it's in right now, I can't imagine how it could. I mean, they would have to excise quite a bit of stuff. As with Lehrer's books that were the previous books of his that were taken off the market, I suspect it will happen quietly. This is only a guess that it will quietly disappear. The amount of labor, and then coupled with the embarrassment that the book has already caused, I suspect it's not worth it to the publisher at this point.
Michael Moynihan, cultural news editor for The Daily Beast, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You can link to his article about Jane Goodall's new book, or not, Seeds of Hope, at wordofmouthradio.org.